Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, January 15th, 2012.
Over the past 4 weeks, well, this is actually the fifth week, while I've been battling the combination of the flu and bronchitis and laryngitis and whatever else piled up on top, I've received a lot of advice on what I should and should not be doing. I've got a very long list of remedies, if anybody's interested. Everyone convinced that theirs is the best and theirs works, even though it contradicts someone else's. I can't tell you why the Lord allowed such a long sickness and why I was unable to do what God's called me to do, and that's to preach and teach the Word of God. My conscience is clear. I don't believe that I did anything to bring it on or to prolong it, though there were some that indicated otherwise. I sympathized a little bit with Job. My conscience is clear. I don't have all the answers, but I accept my time of weakness as from the hand of my loving Father. And one thing that I purposed to do all this time when I was, I would get discouraged. I get tired just like everyone else. But one thing I made a point to do every morning is to wake and thank the Lord for His mercy and His grace and His faithfulness. That doesn't change. I know one thing that the Lord worked in me, and that was to give me a vivid reminder of something that I knew, but we do need to be reminded of just how weak and frail and dependent we are on God. We need His mercy. We need His grace on a daily basis. And sometimes when we feel good, when we're strong, sometimes we have a tendency to forget that. But even in the times of strength, we need dependence on His mercy. I think of the Apostle Paul's experience where God spoke to him and he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Therefore, Paul said, "I will most gladly boast in my infirmities, not complain about them, but boast in them, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." It is a good thing for us to be reminded of our weaknesses, that we might learn to fully depend on Him. One thing that I think came out of this is that I've been more aware of the physical ailments and limitations that many of God's people in this congregation suffer on a daily basis. I think I'm going to get better. But some of God's people are dealing with things that for some of them it's been all of their life. For some, certainly the last stage of their life, they're going through limitations that they battle with every day. We need to remember to pray for one another. It's easy to get wrapped up in our problems, but let's remember to encourage one another. One piece of advice that I received from many different people, including my doctor, was the need for rest. You need to rest. My body had been under attack, and it was left weak, and it needed to restore itself. It needed to repair in order to have strength that it might function like it's supposed to have the energy and the resources to do what it was created to do. Rest was an important part of that. And it was good advice, and I think some of you didn't think I heeded it, but my wife knows that for the past 5 weeks, I've been laying around or sitting around drinking water and eating popsicles. And the times when you saw me at church, that was the most strenuous work that I did in those first 4 weeks. So I did pay attention to the need for rest. In the natural, our bodies need rest on a regular basis. That's why you sleep. That's why some of us take naps. Is because if our body's going to have strength to function like it's supposed to, that body has to rest. It has to regenerate itself. It has to refresh itself. That's on a regular basis. And then in times of sickness or injury, then the need for rest only multiplies because now we need added refreshing and adding renewing. So we need more rest. All of that is scientific medical science. We understand that. But what we need to remember is the same is true in our spiritual realm, with our spiritual condition. If we're going to be strong spiritually, if we're going to have the strength to do what God's called us to do, we need to learn to rest spiritually on a regular basis. And then in times of trial, sickness, weakness, we actually need more spiritual rest than we even do on a regular basis. So the message this morning is for us to understand what it means. How do you rest spiritually? We know how you rest in the natural. You sit down, you leave off from your normal activities and thoughts, and you just either sit down or lay down, and you rest physically. We know how to do that. But how do you do it spiritually? And we want to look at that this morning. Let's begin our scriptural reading in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus speaking here, he says, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So here we're talking about spiritual rest, and Jesus says he will give it to us. The spiritual rest that Jesus offers all who believe in him, it begins, of course, with salvation. And this is the initial invitation to rest. When we learn to put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we rest in who he is and what he's accomplished for us, we leave off from our own works of righteousness. We cease from our struggles with our own guilt and shame because of sin, and we rest in the finished work of Calvary. He did the work that produced salvation for us. Jesus did the work that gave us strength to stand before God. This is the rest that he offers here in Matthew, the rest of salvation. But the rest of salvation is only the beginning, saints, and this is where sometimes I think we fail to understand that for us to continue as the children of God to do the will of God, to be pleasing to our Lord and Savior, to do that work, we need to be strong. And if we're going to be strong, we're going to need continual spiritual rest for our souls. And that comes from Jesus Christ. Salvation is the initial rest. But rest and strength to do the will of God on a daily basis also comes from looking to Jesus Christ. How do we rest spiritually? How do we refresh our spirit and our soul that we might be strong? It does involve ceasing from your own works, ceasing from your own thoughts and activities, not necessarily from your daily jobs and responsibilities to family, that you can be quite active physically and still rest spiritually. And we need to do that because we all live very busy lives. And you can be busy physically and still learn to rest spiritually. But there are some secrets that we need to learn and to remind us of some of the things that will cause us to rest so we'll be strong spiritually. I want to use the four letters of the word rest. R-E-S-T. The words that I want to associate with these four letters will remind us how to rest spiritually to be strong. The first letter, R, will stand for rejoice. Rejoice. E stands for expectation. S stands for source. And T stands for trials. If we will allow these four words to remind us of some things that lead to spiritual rest on a regular basis and in times of trial, we will learn to be refreshed and strong in order to do the will of God on a daily basis. And this isn't in my notes, saints, but I'm going to throw this in extra. this assembly and many individuals in this assembly, especially in the past year, have gone through a lot of difficult things. And it's easy for us to become tired and weak when we're under attack. It's easy enough on just the regular day-to-day things. But when we have these added trials and difficulties and the circumstances and the situations that have arisen over the past year, it's easy for us to become discouraged. And what I want us as an assembly to be reminded of, Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And when we rest in Him, our strength will be renewed. Jesus is coming, saints. And I'm not willing to lay down and let the enemy take me captive with discouragement and despair. I want to serve the Lord with zeal till Jesus comes. I want this assembly to be zealous about why we are here. And that is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to point others to Him as Savior, to point those that have accepted Him as Savior, to point to Him as their bridegroom, that we might fall in love with Jesus, not with a person, not with a ministry, not with a church, not with a building, not with a group, but we might fall in love with Jesus Christ. I want people to see Jesus in me. I want them to see Jesus in you. And saints, that's our privilege till Jesus comes. And saints, I'm excited about that. All of the attacks, the difficulties, the trials, yeah, they're not fun. But I want to learn to rest. The first letter, R. If I'm going to rest and be strong spiritually, I need to learn to rejoice. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. I have found that there is nothing that zaps our spiritual strength faster than fear and anxiety. But there is a vaccine for that, and that is simply to rejoice in the goodness and faithfulness of God. Sometimes I think, you know, that's such a simple thing, isn't it? That's easy for you to say, Brother Doug. I want you to picture those of you that are current parents, those that are grandparents that watch grandchildren, those that have had children or been around them at all. You know this scenario, but I want you to picture it because I want you to see yourself in that same scenario, but in the spiritual realm. Because sometimes we're like a young child that refuses to lie down and take a nap when they really need one. Anybody got that picture? They're exhausted. They can hardly stand up. They're staggering around like a drunk person. They overreact to everything. They're agitated. They're angry. But they refuse to lay down and take a nap. And that's all they need. They just need a nap. They need to rest so that they can refresh themselves and then function like they're supposed to. Sometimes we allow ourselves as adults, as the children of God, to refuse to do what's going to refresh us. And that's just to stop and begin to rejoice in the goodness and the faithfulness of God. It's a simple act, just like lying down and taking a nap. Just to take time to say, Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you that you're still God and I'm still your child. Just begin to worship. Sometimes, because we refuse to worship, we become whining, complaining children of God. We become agitated, angry. Is anybody else, or is it just me when I need a spiritual nap? I get agitated with myself, with others, sometimes with God. I can't function like a child of God should function when I need to rest. Our testimony for the Lord is not what it should be. And so we begin to neglect doing the will of God, and all we need to do is just rejoice. We don't have time to read the whole psalm, but I want you to write down this reference, and then actually, this is a different psalm than I had in mind. Psalm 103, you can write this one down as well. Psalm 103, I'll go ahead and read the first five verses here. This is how you rest spiritually. This is how you get your strength back. On a regular basis, you need to do this. Daily, you need to do this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your soul with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When's the last time you took that little nap and just thank God for all of his benefits? And you say, oh, but Brother Doug, verse 3 there, he heals all of my diseases and I'm still sick, so why am I going to talk about that one? Well, let me see the hands of those who have in their Christian experience at one time received a healing from the Lord. Miraculous. That's quite a number. He heals. There is not a disease he cannot heal. The promise isn't that he will heal every disease you ever have. The point is, he's God. And on top of that, you do realize one day this corruptible body is going to put on incorruption, don't you? Can't you rejoice in that? When was the last time you took this spiritual nap and just thank God for all of his benefits? Don't be a cranky, worn-out Christian. We get that way, don't we? Rejoice in the goodness and the mercy of God. The second letter, E, expectation. Another thing that leads to you being refreshed and strengthened to do the will of God. This is the psalm I was talking about, Psalm 116. When you have time, read the entire psalm. Psalm 116, verse 7 is what I want to draw your attention to, but this verse 7 is right in the middle, and you do need the context, but in verse 7 of Psalm 116, return to your rest, O my soul. David's telling himself, take a nap. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Now the context of that is this. The first verses of this psalm is that David recalls God's past faithfulness to him. David's going through a problem in his life, but he remembers how God has faithfully provided for his needs in the past. And after he contemplates how faithful God has been to this point in his life, that's when he stops and says, soul, return to that rest. Return to expecting God to be God. And then the last verses go on to tell how David is going to return to doing the will of God, doing the things that God expects him to do, because now he's found his rest. He's been refreshed spiritually because he took time to expect God to be God. If we are going to be spiritually strong, saints, whatever you go through, again, on a daily basis, you need it. When you are attacked, you need even more rest. You need to return to this position, to this understanding, over and over again. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we have to believe God. When we are spiritually tired, we begin to believe our circumstances. We begin to believe those around us. We begin to believe the world. Our understanding becomes distorted. But when we come back to the way of faith, we find strength. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Saints, when I had to lay around for 4 weeks, when I couldn't do what God called me to do, to preach and to teach, oh, yeah, the tendency was to feel sorry for myself. All those feelings and thoughts are there. But there was something within me that wouldn't allow me to dwell there. God's not sick. God's still doing a work in me and through me. God's not limited to doing His work in me and through me, me standing up behind a piece of furniture. God's doing something in me and through me for eternity's sake, and He's still doing it, and I expect Him to do it till the day I die. Can you expect God to do that? It'll cause you to rest. It'll cause you to function like you're supposed to when you come to that place of faith. That leads us to the letter S, source. Who is the source? Well, we began the study with that. Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's your strength to do the will of God. When I couldn't preach and teach, I didn't despair and say, oh, I can't do the will of God. I looked for the Lord to be able to do the will of God while I was in those times when I was nearly bedfast. In my attitude toward my wife, who faithfully took care of me, I wanted to do the will of God in that. I wanted to do the will of God in being an example to others in that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in the context Paul was talking about, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to abound. Doesn't matter what my circumstance or situation is, I can do the will of God in that thing, through that thing. I want you to understand how much this applies. I know some of the things that some of you are going through. And in and of themselves, from the human standpoint, they are overwhelming. They are devastating. But not one of them, not one, changes the truth of God's word. You can still rejoice in the goodness of God. You can still expect God to work in you and through you. And you can still understand that God is your source to do what you need to do for His glory, to prepare you for eternity. The reason that Jesus said His yoke was easy for the believer is because Jesus Himself promised to bear the load. He bore the load of your sin on the cross. That's why salvation's easy for you, easy for me, because Jesus bore the load. Do you know why I can be pleasing to the Lord in my day-to-day life? No, it's not because I'm so wonderful or so talented or so whatever. The reason that I know that I can please the Lord today is because I know He's my source of strength. Because I know that Christ within me is able to bear whatever needs to be borne today for me to please Him. In the natural, we all have special places where we like to rest. Most of us sleep best in our own bed. Something about it, just being familiar, soothing, comforting. Some of us have special chairs or couches we like to lay back in, take naps in. Who is the source? Where is the place of our rest? We won't turn there for time's sake, but Deuteronomy 33 tells us, we have the everlasting arms of the eternal God. Now that's a comforting place. He's the source of our rest. And then I do want us to turn to Jeremiah 6. Under this heading of source, if we are truly resting in God as our source, we're going to look to His Word. His Word itself will be a source of rest for us. And this is one of those paradoxes of faith that I want you to really think about and let the Spirit minister to you. It's a paradox because we're talking about rest in the spiritual realm. But according to this passage and according to Scripture in general, the child of God finds spiritual rest in doing the will of God. You see how that appears to contradict itself. In the natural, you rest, you stop doing. And certainly, there is that application, as we mentioned in the beginning. We stop from our own works. We do stop doing what we think is best. But what we're talking about doing now is doing the will of God. And when we simply obey His loving instruction in our life, you know what happens? You become stronger. There's just a peace and a rest and a refreshing by just doing what your Father's asked you to do. Now, I can't explain how that works, but I can testify to its reality. And it's when we stop walking in loving obedience to His loving instruction that we become agitated, angry. We stop functioning because we're not resting. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. The walking's talking about practical obedience. What's going to happen if you do that? Then you will find rest for your souls. But Israel said, we will not walk in it. God is our source. His word is our source. If you're going to be a strong Christian spiritually, you have to learn to simply walk in obedience. And you will find it to be refreshing. It is the most refreshing lifestyle you could possibly live. Now we come to the last one, trials. As I mentioned, both natural and spiritual, we need rest on a regular basis, every day. So we need to do these things. Rejoice, expect, understand who our source is. We need to do that on a regular basis. But the T reminds us that in trials, we need added rest. We need more rest than we normally do in the spiritual realm. Ironically, during the difficult times, we often abandon the things that bring us rest rather than seeking for more opportunities. The T stands for those trials that sometimes overwhelm us, and oftentimes when we are tested, we rejoice less and we complain more. Am I exaggerating here? When you don't feel good, when things aren't going your way, don't you have a tendency to complain more and rejoice less than you even did before, when the opposite needs to be true? We often begin to despair and anticipate destruction and loss instead of expecting God to do what He said He would do, to meet our every need, to work all things together for our good. In trials, we tend to quick to be abandoned, to abandon the things that God has asked us to do, to study, to pray, to gather together, to minister to others. We have a tendency when we're hurting spiritually, physically, or emotionally to leave off from doing those things. And yet it is in those times we need to dedicate more time to simply obey the Word of God. We need to rejoice when we're hurting. We need to hope in God when the despair comes crashing down on top of us. We need to rededicate ourselves to unconditional surrender when everything tells us, what's the use? Peter speaks about rejoicing with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And you know what he's talking about when we're to do that? When we're tested. Are you weak this morning? Are you tired? Are you worn out spiritually? Some of us are. I want you to understand that Jesus, just as real as He stood before that crowd in Matthew, just as real as He looked at them and said, come unto Me and I will give you rest. Your loving Savior this morning is here and He's telling you the same thing. But you have to come to Him. You have to listen to your loving parent who says, it's time to rest. Rejoice. Expect God to be God. Understand He's your source for everything you need. And in times of trials, you redouble those times of rest. Let's stand and sing this morning. Number 527, let's sing all three verses. 527, safe in the arms of Jesus. As we sing the song, if you will come and find your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ.